Welcome to the Career Changes podcast, where we believe that it is never too late to redefine your path, rewrite your story, and reignite your passion for what you do. Are you ready for a career-changing adventure? Before we dive into these inspiring stories, we need your support. Hit the subscribe button, leave a review, and join our community of dream chasers. And then, be ready to find your inspiration. Hello, and welcome to a new episode of The Career Changes. Our guest today is Kathy Imabayashi, a Canadian educator, parent, consultant, and coach residing in Itoshima, Japan, who is guiding parents to raise sons into remarkable men. Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Anissa. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So before we deep dive into the topic of how to raise sons into remarkable men, let's start with your professional background. How did you start your professional life, or better, what was your first job?
Well, actually, most of my adult life, I've worked in education in one form or another. And the only time that I really was completely separate was 6 months after I left university the first time, and I was a long distance telephone operator. That was the thing then. And it helped me realize that's not the life that I had wanted. So I went back to school and got my teaching degree. So there hasn't been a lot of change in my professional life. It's just gone in a variety of different directions.
So what was your dream job when you were a child? Was it actually to be a teacher or something different?
I thought at that time that I really wanted to be a social worker. I wanted to save the world and do great things for humanity, kind of like a Joan of Arc. I had big visions for myself.
Oh, that's quite inspirational when you're a young child.
Yeah.
So nowadays you dedicate yourself to raising boys into remarkable men. So let's talk about this topic. What inspired you to focus on the topic of raising boys into remarkable men?
It actually was accidental that it started. I was blessed with a son, and there was an incident when he was around 3 years old, and I had taken him fishing with a little plastic fishing rod, and it was a beautiful day, and we were slightly off the road down a nice little path along a riverside. But Japan is very, very safe, so I didn't worry about being there by myself and a little bit isolated. But after we were there for a little while and having a lovely time, I looked up further down the path, and I saw what I thought of as a gang of young boys, 5 or 6 males. And in that split second, there was no logic to my reaction, but it was complete fear. I was terrified that something, they were going to hurt, you know, me or my son. That was the instinctive response that I had. And the boys came down, and there was 5 or 6 of them, and they actually were in that stage between elementary school and middle school. And that was the same age group that I was teaching at the time. So more than anybody else, I should have recognized that it's, you know, boys in bigger bodies, but still very, you know, young hearts inside of them. So they came down and joined us, and we had a wonderful time together, and it was a beautiful afternoon, and that could have been the end of it. But that night, it was bothering me greatly that I had reacted that way, and so I kept digging away, trying to think why, you know, where did that come from, and why was that my reaction? And when I was going down that rabbit hole, I had this image, and it was like, is that what is going to happen for my little boy in 10 years or 15 years or 20 years? Is another woman going to be filled with fear simply because he's male? And that just started something. It was like, what's wrong with this picture? Like, that's it's not right. And so that's what started it. Set me on a path to try to understand better so that I could help first my son and then all the little boys that were part of my world.
Well, it's an incredible emotional journey. And I think as a woman as well, I would identify with those feelings. Sometimes you may just walk down the street, and whether they are young boys or men, you never know. If you see a group of them, you may have certain triggers, certain feelings, and just feeling, okay, everything's going to be okay. But for some reason, I think, I don't want to speak for others, but I really identify with the way you felt. So I can feel the same many times. So you're an expert in education and also a mom. What are the key development stage in a boy's life and how they contribute to shaping their character?
I'm just finishing a book, and in the book that I've written, it's looking at the first 8 years. And I divide those into two stages. So I call the tender years are from birth to about 3, and then from 4 to 8 is what I call the young years. After that, you have the tweens, which would be like 9 to 12 years old, and then you have the teenagers, and then you have the young adults. And each one of those stages has complexities all around. All the stages of development and all the hormonal parts of development for a young boy. But besides the challenges, there's also a lot of wonders, and there's a lot of beautiful things in each one of the stages. So as the adult, it's our job, I believe, to understand what the challenges are, understand what the stages are, and then to support and adapt as our boys are going through them.
So in your experience, or at least in your thinking, how do societal expectation and cultural influences impact our boys' upbringing? I think that may be also different depending on the country where they live.
Well, it has a very big impact because most people don't realize how much, as in my situation, how much unconscious gender bias we have, and that bias impacts how we parent or how we interact with males. One of the things that I have done with parents that I've been working with is I will have two portraits of a toddler, and one toddler is dressed in typically little girls' clothes, and one is typically little boys' clothes, and then there's a set of 4 or 5 questions, like, what do you think the child's name might be? What do you think their character might be? What hobbies might they have as they're growing up? What kind of a career do you think they might go into? And then after everyone has had their input, I tell them that it's the same child. And it's like the assumption about the behavior or their potential was all connected with whether you thought it was a girl or a boy. So, you know, boys learn really quickly that there is a way to behave that's acceptable and that's not acceptable. And they learn to push down what those emotions are, the vulnerable feelings, and they put on masks so that they can fit in with others. And the more masks that they put on, the less you get to see what that, you know, pure little boy is inside. So until we recognize how our own biases are impacting how we are relating and expecting boys and girls to behave, then you know, we're not moving forward.
That's so interesting. And I think it clearly shows how parents can influence their sons or even their daughters when they grow up, of course, naturally, but specifically related maybe to gender preconception. So what parents can do to be a positive to lead a positive example in growing their son into a remarkable man?
I think the first thing for parents is to understand how powerful of an impact they have. Like, as a parent, you are the most influential person in your child's life. So everything that you do or say or don't do and don't say really impacts on how he sees himself in the world and also how he sees his place in that world. So parents are... Their impact is so great that it's important that they learn as much as they can about gender differences so that they can support their sons to grow into, you know, the best person they can be.
So another place where children spend a lot of time is school, of course. And there is a big influence on every child and their development. How does education contribute specifically to a boy's development, and what role can schools play into that?
Well, in general, my opinion is that schools don't cater to the learning style of boys. So it's not ideal, and they have, especially in the younger years, they have a lot of challenges. Some ways that schools can compensate for that are things like, you know, having a later start date for boys. Boys start 1 year later than the girls start. Have more teacher education, learning about what these differences are and how to bring out the strengths in both genders. More project work, more physical movement during the day. There are things that can be done. There are some things that are, you know, in some schools, but in general, it's a tough time for little boys.
So is there any positive role models for boys that you can mention?
Well, when I think about that, I think it's not so much about looking for those models. The first thing I think is you look at your son and you think, what kind of a man do I want him to grow into? And you look at the characteristics that you hope he will develop. And then you start looking in your environment or in the media, and you will find those examples. And that's when you share those role models. They're there.
Let's talk about emotional intelligence. I think there can be some stereotypes attributes to this as well when we talk about men, but let's see, what is your opinion on this? How can parents foster emotional intelligence in their sons?
I don't think there's a big difference between how you would encourage strong emotional intelligence in a girl or a boy. I think you work at having them understand what emotional intelligence looks like. You give them the vocabulary that helps them articulate it, and you model it yourself. If it's part of their environment, part of their world, that's the best way for them to acquire it themselves.
And do you think, are there any differences in which boys or girls or girls are expressing and understanding their emotions? And if yes, are there any specific challenges for boys specifically?
That area is a little bit controversial because there are challenges that men have in expressing themselves, in showing vulnerability. But the controversy is this something that's nature, or is it nurture, or is it a combination of both? And there are, you know, there is evidence that there are some physical gender differences that could impact the outcome of that. But the question is, how much restrictions are society placing upon the boys that inhibit their ability to express themselves? So if we're not teaching them about emotions and emotional intelligence, if we're not encouraging them to express themselves and giving them the vocabulary to do that, if on the flip side, what we're doing is embarrassing them or shaming them if they are vulnerable or they do show weaknesses. Like it's really, it's not clear cut whether it's nature or nurture.
Yeah, that's interesting, and I think it's probably interesting to think how, you know, when did we start to talk about this topic, and probably now there is a lot more conversation about positive masculinity, or if men are able to express their feelings. And education has changed during the years. So yes, I do definitely believe that probably there is an influence in terms of, yes, men can express their feelings or they can't express their feelings. So let's talk about building confidence and resilience. What strategies can parents use to build confidence in their boys?
I think the biggest thing is to build up your son's self-esteem. Find ways that to empower him. One of the ways that we kind of sabotage this self-confidence is that unknowingly, we will often shame our boys by what we do and what we say. And there's something that's called like the emotional bank. And the concept behind it is that you try to make sure that your son's emotional bank is always balanced. And the debits and deposits are connected with behavioral experiences. So if your child has had a negative experience, he's had a tantrum or he's gotten in trouble and you've scolded him and whatever, that's one negative experience he's had. And so that's a withdrawal from his account. It takes seven, or they say it takes, you know, about seven deposits in order to balance that out. For every one negative, you need seven positives. So if you're consciously aware of that, and they don't have to be big, like one deposit could be a hug. One deposit could be, you know, saying, you know, that was wonderful what you did with the dog, taking care of the dog. They don't have to be really big things. But what tends to happen is that often with little boys and misbehavior, it seems to be a cycle of negativity. And so that decreases their self-esteem and confidence. So that's one way to try to build it up, is being aware of that.
So in my mind, I go back to when you started this conversation mentioning the group of boys coming towards your son. And it gives me a little bit the idea of peer pressure. And this makes me think about young boys sometimes are subject to these peer pressures, and as a result of that, they may not necessarily take the best choices. So how can parents help their sons to deal with this peer pressure and make positive choices?
Well, I think it starts when they're very young, and it's connected with how strong that bond is between parent and the child. Boys have a need for risky play and you know, that kind of, it's different how they play, what is exciting for them. There are gender differences that if you are aware of those, then you can provide opportunities where your son doesn't need to go out with his buddies and, you know, get in trouble for risky behavior. Instead, you can provide, you know, some kind of more structured, but I'm trying to think of, there's something, paintball or something, or go-karts, or, you know, bungee jumping, or something where you get the thrill of an adventure and a risk, but you're not doing it with a group of four other boys, and you're all going to play off each other's immaturity and make bad choices. So it's, I don't think you can say that, you know, this is what you do to be able to protect them from peer pressure. I think if you build up their confidence and self-esteem and give them the tools to be strong enough to say, I don't want to do that, but to have the opportunity to experience that thrill and that, risky behavior in a safer environment. I think that works well with boys.
So let's talk about adulthood as a role of a parent is to prepare a child for that and set them free to fly. So are there any practical skills or maybe even big life lessons that parents should impart to their sons in preparation for adulthood?
Well, the practical ones, it's just if you're sending them off to wherever they're going, they need to know how to take care of themselves. They need to know how to cook and to clean and to balance their budget and that kind of thing. And that's one area. But there's a, especially for young adulthood, or when they're even late teens, early adulthood, when they're first going out on their own, we have a tendency to think that, they're young adults now, and we put those expectations for behavior and responsibility as a young adult, as we would a young woman who is very responsible and independent and can take care of herself. But the fact is that boys' brains are not the front part of it. It's not fully developed until mid to late 20s. So we are assuming that they will act and behave like young adults when they don't yet have a fully formed brain. So there's a little bit of incongruence between what the expectation is and what the reality is. And I think that often causes real chaos and turmoil in those first few years where they are out on their own, but they really don't, have full capacity to be as independent as we're expecting them to be.
How can parents guide their sons in choosing their paths or career, if there is a way to do so, of course, being respectful of what are their desires and ambitions?
Again, I think it's all about connection and communication that you've been working on since they've been born. And if you have developed that kind of relationship, you will know what their interests are, what their passions are. So you can, I don't think it's guiding them. It's supporting whatever their choices are. If they're interested in dance, then you might help them research that a little bit more, or find ways to experience it more to know if that's, what it is. I think it's really all connected with what kind of relationship you have with your child.
So we often forget that with our choices, we can have a positive impact in the world. How do you feel you're making the world a better place through your work?
Well, I think by sharing with others what I've learned for almost 40 years now, I think that when I work with parents and I'm working with little boys, I think that they have a better relationship. I think they're happier together. And so I think the world is richer and more authentic for the boys and their parents.
And if you could give only one piece of advice to anyone growing a son, what that would be?
That you don't know what you don't know. So you have to work really hard to learn about all of these things, to keep opening those doors and trying to understand what the differences are and how you can support your son.
So we reached the end of this episode. If anyone would like to reach out to you, how and where they can find you?
The best place is at the website, which is sonhoodcoaching.com. I'm also on LinkedIn and Instagram, but the Facebook has everything there, all the connections.
And now really the last question that we asked to all of our guests, if you could give yourself a piece of advice, what would you say to your younger self?
I would tell myself that what makes me different is not a weakness or a lack of something, that it's really my superpower. And so to embrace it and shine your light.
Well, thank you, Kathy, so much for joining us today and sharing your inspirational career story and wisdom with our listeners on how to raise son in a wonderful man.
Thank you very much, Elisa. It's been a real pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you. And the last message for our listeners, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and tune in next week for a new inspirational episode of The Career Changes. Thank you.